If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
WGN, that is hail to the chief, right? Absolutely. And we're going to have a new chief, at least we're going to elect one on Tuesday. I think a lot of people would say, unfortunately. I don't know. I think everyone just wants President Obama just to stay a little bit longer.
And it's not even just that. There's a whole slew of things that we're voting for.
It's a good point. I think that we all know the top
locally.
Yeah, look at that. Was a segue that Esmeralda won. Have you voted yet, Esmeralda?
I have not, because I live across the street from my polling place. So I'm just going to go. I'm going to walk right up after work.
Have
vote,
no problem.
And then go to bed.
And go to bed. So I voted, and I consider myself an informed voter. I obviously knew the top of the ticket. I knew who was running for senator here in Illinois. And I looked up people that were running for my local state reps, and sometimes they were unopposed. So that made it a really easy decision. But I got to admit, I got to like some of the later pages, and I'm like, I don't know anything about these judges.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. I've already voted, so I can't go vote again, even though this is Chicago. But for everyone else out there, Alex Nemcheski from Ballot Ready is here to solve all that for us. Alex, good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be here.
It is great to have you. This is so cool. I was fiddling around with your site, and all I kept on thinking was, I wish I would have looked at this before I voted.
Yeah, I know. We're trying to get the word out to everybody.
So talk us through what it is.
Yeah, so anyone can go to ballotready.org, type in your address, and we show you all the candidates and referendums that will be on your ballot.
Go ahead.
We cover all the judges, water reclamation commissioners in Cook County. There are 6 ballot measures on your ballot, and we aggregate background information. Our goal is for everyone to complete their entire ballot without guessing.
Did this just kind of come from a similar stories you heard from people that, I'm just kind of like throwing a dart at a dartboard with some of these votes, and that was the problem, and you aim to solve that?
Exactly. And we heard that from political science professors who admitted to guessing. We heard it from political reporters from the Tribune who voted based on a cool sounding name. So everybody has this problem.
That's how I pick horses whenever I do horse racing. I imagine that's probably not the best way to pick politicians.
Exactly. And when everyone's doing it, it's a real problem.
I find it fascinating you had a stat that, and I guess this is no surprise when people aren't informed, that actually just being the top person alphabetically or however it's ordered can be a big bump for you.
Exactly. And it's ordered by lottery, which means that if you're listed first, you can get 5% increase in votes. And that's just because people are so unfamiliar with these local offices. And it's hard to get familiar because in some places, there are over 100 candidates on a ballot.
Wow.
Right. I'm looking at my ballot right now, and I have there's 75 judicial candidates.
Wow.
I have no clue. I have to look through Ballot Ready and find out who I'm going to vote for.
How do you find that information, Alex? When you say aggregate, walk us through how that's done.
So we pull from candidate websites, news articles, when candidates fill out questionnaires for newspapers, or endorsing organizations, we pull all that and put it into one place. And then we allow you to compare the candidates based on things like the issues that they take stances on or their previous experience. For judges, we aggregate all 12 Bar Association judicial ratings.
Is there an editorial process that goes through when this stuff happens, or is it aggregated by humans that pull it all together, or is it kind of done electronically and then, you know, you look if there's problems after the fact?
We do a mix of both human collection and automated collection, so we use IBM Watson, but it's not editorialized. We just put it all out there for people to compare based on what matters most to them.
And is it just, I know you guys are expanding. Where did you start out and when did you start out?
Our first election was the mayoral runoff election in Chicago last year in 2015. And then we covered Kentucky. We've covered 5 elections since then, primaries, and now we are in 12 states for this election.
Oh, wow. 12 states from, I mean, that's been a year. I mean, a little over a year since that. That's pretty rapid expansion. Have you guys, I mean, I imagine you guys have had some help along the way.
Yeah, we have. We've gotten support from the National Science Foundation, the Knight Foundation, the University of Chicago Institute of Politics was our kind of foundational support. So we're in a pretty good position for Tuesday.
I have such a dumb question, but I'm sure it's something that people ask or wonder. How is there not something already like this, you know?
The reason is because it's so hard to find this information. And this is because we can't just go to the state of Illinois and say, hey, who's going to be on the ballot? We have to go to all the local boards of elections. We have to make phone calls. We had to get a fax machine. We had to go to boards of elections physically. It takes a lot of work. So that's why we're the only group that does this.
And the fact that it's so personalized, because maybe you could start to pull together information, but when you're starting to talk about state representative districts and ward districts and all the small things, it really, I mean, the person across the street from you might have a different ballot.
Exactly. And that's the case in most places.
Yeah. And what I do love about this is that you go through the list and it's not just you looking at everything. You get to pick who you're going to vote for, and then you can print it out. You can email it to yourself so you're ready when you go vote. You don't have to just remember
exactly.
them off the top of your head.
And in many places, you can bring your phone in the voting booth. And so let's say you didn't know about Ballot Ready and you just wanted to research the candidates.
How I have a dumb question. It's ballotready.org. I have all these dumb questions. I'm so full of them. I'm the guy that walked in that didn't know my judges. So yeah, of course I have the dumb questions. Do you guys operate as a nonprofit? How does that work?
We're incorporated as a for-profit, but we have a social mission.
You're breaking up there just a little bit, Alex. I don't know if you're talking too close to the speaker there. Could you repeat that? So you guys operate as a for-profit?
Yes, we are incorporated as a for-profit.
Alex, unfortunately, we're going to put you on hold, and actually this is perfect timing because we're going to take a quick commercial break, and hopefully we can clear that up with Alex right after this on 720 WGN. WGN. John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon in for Dave Plyer. We're talking about voting with Alex Nemchesky from ballotready.org, an amazing site. You just plug in your address and you can see all the information you could possibly want about who's on your ballot so you can make more informed decisions. And Alex, I guess that's probably the main goal, right? I mean, at the end of the day, maybe people are a little more less intimidated when they can read a little bit more, and maybe that just prompts them to give them a little bit more confidence to even get to the polls in the first place.
At least 30% of people don't complete their ballot. They leave blanks. And literally everyone we've met has admitted to guessing at some point. So our first goal is for people to complete the ballot without guessing. And our second goal is to encourage more people to use their power to vote, especially in local elections.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is the focus becomes, like you were saying, Esmeralda, the top of the ticket, and then it's such an afterthought for the rest of it when, I mean, democracy works the opposite way in many ways. The things that affect us so immediately are the things that happen down the street from us.
Right, the local things, the measures. And yeah. If you don't know what it's about, you're just going to be like, oh, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, I'll just throw it at it. Alex, I wonder, go ahead.
Some of those measures, if you read the text of the measure, mm-hmm. it's so hard to understand. So mm-hmm. we show you exactly what it means, who endorses it, so you can go in well informed.
That's an interesting point, too, because those amendments can kind of get lost in the lingo. And then even my ballot, I remember because it was the Rhodes Amendment question that we have here for Illinois about the lockbox of funding. They asked yes. it one way, and then they tried to simplify it, and that's actually what threw me off more than anything else, was their sort of explanation on the ballot. So I guess we shouldn't leave it up to the bureaucrats to make it as simple and understandable as possible.
Exactly.
I was wondering, Alex, and you kind of broke up there right before when we were talking about this. So you guys actually are a for you operate as a for-profit company, which I respect anyone that's trying to run a business and you know, bring in some financial gains for yourself and your employees, and that's great. How do you guys plan to make money? How does that work? And do people ever express any worry that that's going to offer any sort of conflict with the nonpartisan operation you're trying to run?
You're exactly right. We want to be sustainable. We want to eventually cover every election in every state. And in order to do that, we have some ideas about how we might make money in the future, but we don't make money now.
Right. You're like, that's a problem for later. That'll be a great problem when it happens. But for now, we're...
Right.
I guess my concern is, and I'm sure you guys will think about this, and obviously all you have is credibility with something like this, that, you know, Coca-Cola can't come through, buy an ad, and then also sway you with some sort of, make sure the picture for this candidate is better, or the lingo filters out. I mean, I imagine that's something that you guys don't have blinders on towards, that when you start to figure out ways how to make money, that's obviously going to be first and foremost that what you have on there can be, no matter what, trusted to be impartial.
Exactly. That's our first thing, is to be useful to voters. And without that, we're really nothing. So that's going to be our priority no matter what we do.
The other people that helped you form this included was also someone who was running for office. In fact, him or herself, right?
Exactly. My co-founder actually ran for local school council in Chicago, and she won. But the reason we kind of started this was because she called me. She was like, "Will you please vote for me?" And I was like, "I didn't even realize there was an election going on."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a good point, too, because is it just going to be the midterms and the every other year? Or are you going to also try and cover primaries? I mean, you started with the primary, so I imagine that'll be a continued goal.
Exactly. Next year, we're covering 20 elections. I think most people forget that there are elections that often. But also, what that means is turnout in those is really low. And we know in mayoral elections across the U.S., the median age of voters is 60.
Wow. That seems crazy.
We want to get that lower.
Yeah, you want to get, not that we don't love when our 60-year-olds vote and above, but we want to make sure
everybody's got to vote.
Everyone's got to vote.
Everybody else.
What response have you gotten from either other elected officials or from, you know, boards of elections? You know, there's this, obviously we all love, everyone totes the line that the more people that vote, the better. But I don't know if everyone across the board necessarily feels that way, but have you heard anything from the Board of Elections?
They're happy to be that this information is out there from candidates. The best thing we hear. So when we put information on the site, we email the candidates to say, hey, here's what your profile looks like. Here's what your opponent's profiles look like. Let us know if you want to add anything or if anything's wrong. The best is when candidates say, oh, I noticed my opponent took a stance on this issue. I want to make my stance known too, because that's what we're all about, making it easier for people to get information, holding elected officials accountable, and just understanding what their values are.
That's fascinating. Is it because a candidate just doesn't like the look of, like, necessarily like a blank space next to a candidate who has at least has some opinion on it?
Exactly.
That's so fascinating. What response have you gotten from voters that have already used the website?
They're very happy. We get a lot of emails saying things like, this is the first time I've ever completed my ballot. I went into the voting booth feeling so confident. Some people say, this is the first time I've ever even voted for judges, because before I just skipped that whole section. So they're very grateful.
Are judges the hardest one to find information about? Is it harder to dig through their judicial history? And, you know, because, you know, judges are a little bit less partisan than we see when you have political parties. I imagine the judges are hard to find, to dig up that info on.
They're actually not, because bar associations spend so much effort doing these ratings. For each judge they rate, they call 20 references. They do an hour and a half long interview. They look through their court filings. They spend a lot of work on this. So that's one area where I'm very grateful someone else is taking care of it.
Yeah, I really wish I would have looked at this before I voted. I imagine you get that a lot, too, at least in the early going.
Yeah, this month especially, people keep telling me, oh, I voted yesterday or something like that, and Next time. We'll be here next time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You'll go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you guys are actually, you're part of, here in Chicago, part of the Parade to the Polls this Monday with Chance the Rapper.
Yes. It's Monday 3 to 6.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So basically the idea is we're all going to walk to the polls together to vote early. And it's led by Chance the Rapper. A couple other musicians are going to be performing. I think it should be a really fun voting experience.
So do you plug in your address and do it? You yourself personally, Alex?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do it like every day.
To see what changes or just because you love it so much?
Both because I love it so much and to make sure everything's correct.
Yes, exactly. You do your own little testing there. I got to ask you, have you voted yet or are you waiting till election day?
We're all voting as a team on Monday with Chance.
Okay, so that's not just a quote unquote stunt. You actually will be doing it that day. And I love the voting early apparatus, but it is interesting, Esmeralda, you're waiting for election day. You may have a shorter line than I had. I went on the very first day that you could vote in your precincts, in your wards on election, on early election, and it was insane. It was packed, and that was at the close. They had to stay an extra hour and a half on the first day.
Yeah, I heard there's huge lines. I'm going to be there right at 6 a.m.
Alex, you're gonna take credit for all that then?
So I do know you are allowed to take as long as you want in the voting booth.
Yeah.
So don't be worried that, you know, maybe you're taking too long to research. It's more important that you get your vote right then.
Yeah, and I imagine you want people going before they vote. Yeah, can you bring cell phones into your voting booth? Does it depend on where you are?
It does depend on where you are, but you can in most places. You just can't take a photo of your ballot.
Right. Don't tweet out a photo of your ballot because it's totally invalid then. All right, so go to ballotready.org. And Alex, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And get out and vote. Okay, plenty more coming up on 720 WGN.